You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You might have heard of sleep apnea before, but did you know that 8 million people in the UK are affected by this condition, yet 6.5 million remain undiagnosed? Joining us now to talk about the condition and explain why early diagnosis is important is UK's leading sleep expert, Professor Vic Veer. It is great speaking with you today.
Thank you ever so much for inviting me on. Hello.
Now, a lot of people seem to assume sleep apnea is just, you know, poor sleep or that it's all about snoring a lot. But let's get things straight. What is sleep apnea and what are some of the risk factors?
So sleep apnea, quite right, is very closely related to snoring. Snoring is when you've got a narrow airway and as the air passes through your throat, little bits of tissue flap around and generate that noise. Whereas sleep apnea is the next stage on from that. When the airway is so narrow, it completely blocks your breathing. And what happens then is that you can't breathe at all. Your oxygen levels drop a little bit and the brain has to wake you up to try and get you to breathe again. So you go from a deep stage of sleep over to a very light stage of sleep. You're unaware of any of this happening. You take a deep breath, all the oxygen comes back again, but then the brain goes, well, I need to get some sleep. And so you go back into a deep stage of sleep and the whole cycle repeats itself. And that happening over and over again all through the night causes this thing that we call sleep apnea. I think you said the risk factors. Well, there's loads of risk factors. We don't really understand them all. Having a blocked nose and big tonsils and anatomical things in your throat can cause problems. If you gain weight, a lot of weight, you'd need to be sort of obese really before you really notice sleep apnea. If you go through things like the menopause or different hormonal changes, that causes sleep apnea in some people. You can have all sorts of things that can happen. There's diabetes, depression sometimes causes it. I can't say all of them, sorry.
No, it's all right. Tell me, why should we really focus on early diagnosis? Why is it important to know that you have the condition? Because I think it's a bit more than just, you know, getting poor sleep through it and not being aware.
No, you're quite right. It causes an awful lot of problems. It causes weight gain. It causes you to have heart problems. So later on, you get high blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks. It can cause infertility. It causes depression and any number of things. If you're very, very tired during the day, you can get car accidents. You become very unproductive at work and you don't do quite so well. If you looked at the mortality risk, we know that if you've been diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea at a particular sort of time in your life, there's a 26% chance of you dying within 5 years. So 1 in 4 people with obstructive sleep apnea have problems. After 20 years, 2/3 of people, or 66% of people, have died. So it is quite serious. It takes an awful lot of number of years out of your life, but it's not that the actual sleep apnea causes it. It sort of causes all these other problems like the heart attacks and strokes and stuff that nibble away at your health and cause problems with time.
So obviously the combined effect of all of them leads to a shorter lifespan. So what signs should we look out for if we might suspect we have sleep apnea?
Yeah, it's quite difficult because most people don't have any idea they've got sleep apnea. But there are some signs, you're quite right. If you snore so loudly that someone can hear you outside a closed door, that's likely that you have sleep apnea. If you're waking up late at night and going for a wee, and you're not really sure why that's happening. I mean, sometimes prostate problems or a urine infection causes that. But most people don't have that problem. It's much more common to be waking up at night for a wee because of obstructive sleep apnea. If you wake up early in the morning and you've got a headache and it slowly passes after an hour or so, that's a good sign because it means that your oxygen levels are quite low that night. Some people get quite tired during the day. And that's a sign of sleep apnea, particularly if you're tired and start yawning by, say, 11 o'clock in the morning. And if you've been trying to lose weight and trying to do some exercise, but you find that it's just not working and you're a snorer, then there's a chance that it may be because your sleep apnea is making you gain weight.
Well, what sort of treatments can we get in the UK?
You can have lots of home treatments. You could try and lose some weight, although it's quite hard with sleep apnea. There are positional devices that help you sleep on your side. There are certain pillows and backpacks that help you sleep on your side. There are exercises for your tongue and your throat that, if you do these exercises each night, they reduce your snoring and sleep apnea by about 50% or so, depending on the sort of age group you're in. But if you get to the point where none of those things are really working, you can see your GP. And sometimes you've got a blocked nose, and unblocking your nose helps snoring. But with sleep apnea, typically you need the thing that's most common in this country is something known as a CPAP device, which is a mask that goes on your face that pumps air in. Those are for moderate to severe people. In slightly less severe people, you've got something known as a mandibular advancement device, which is a gum shield that brings your lower jaw forward and stops your tongue from falling back and blocking your breathing. There are, in some departments, in our department in London, we have all the operations available. So tonsils and, nose operations, deviated septums, things like that. That's very common. But there are more complex operations as well, like expansion pharyngoplasties and sort of things like that. So there are about 43 different operations you could do. But there's another tier as well, such as new implants that have come on board. There's a pacemaker type implant that sits in your chest with a wire that goes to the nerve of your tongue. That's called the Inspire implant. And that brings your tongue forward at night so you don't keep choking on it. And there's a bit of a newer technology which has come out recently called the Nyxoah sort of genio implant. And that sits underneath your chin like a chip and stimulates both of the nerves and nerves around in your throat. And what that does is it opens up your throat, including the tongue and other parts of your throat, and allows you to get rid of your sleep apnea that way.
Well, Vic, you covered a lot of ground today. So if we wanted to find out a bit more about sleep apnea, where can we go?
Well, seeing your GP is a great idea. I think the NHS website has some information on it. I have a YouTube channel with about 200 videos about sleep apnea. Yeah, you're right. It's hard to get information about sleep apnea, but we are trying our best. And hopefully, listen to radio stations like this and you'll learn more as well.
Oh, that's very kind, Vic. Well, what's your YouTube channel name?
It's very boringly named. It's Vic Veer. It's just my name.
Fantastic. Well, Professor Vic Veer, thank you so much for speaking with us today on RNIB Connect Radio.
Take care. Thank you ever so much.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.